You're listening to BBC Radio 3. It's 1 o'clock. It's time for the BBC News, read by Jill Anderson.
The independent reviewer of terrorism legislation has asked the Home Office and Scotland Yard to explain why a Brazilian man was detained at Heathrow Airport yesterday for 9 hours under anti-terror laws. David Miranda is the partner of a Guardian journalist, Glenn Greenwald, who received leaked documents from the American security contractor Edward Snowden. The Home Office has said it's for the police to decide when it's necessary and proportionate to use anti-terror laws. A date's been set for the trial of the South African athlete Oscar Pistorius, who's accused of murdering his girlfriend. It'll take place on March the 3rd. The runner admits shooting Reeva Steenkamp, but says he mistook her for an intruder. Lawyers for the former Egyptian president Hosni Mubarak say he could be released within days after prosecutors cleared him of corruption. He still faces a retrial over the deaths of protesters who helped to force him from power in 2011. At least 24 Egyptian policemen have been killed in an ambush in North Sinai, where the armed forces have recently intensified a crackdown on militants. Reports say gunmen attacked two buses near the town of Rafah. Senior EU diplomats are meeting to discuss the crisis in Egypt, which has seen hundreds of people die over the past week. Anti-fracking protesters have chained themselves together and blocked the gates to a drilling site in West Sussex. About 200 activists are blocking the road outside the village of Bulcombe. Police have warned people that if they do not move, they risk being arrested. The England cricketer Monty Panesar has been released by his county Sussex after an internal investigation into an incident in Brighton earlier this month. Panesar, who's 31, was fined by police for urinating on nightclub bouncers after they threw him out. The spinner will spend the rest of the season on loan at his former club, Northamptonshire. And the weather. It's dry with sunny spells for most, but cloudier in the northwest with a few light showers. Afternoon temperatures will reach 22 degrees Celsius in London, 19 in Cardiff and Belfast, and 17 in Edinburgh. And that's the BBC News, 1:02 past 1.
Thank you very much, Jill. Now it's time for Proms Chamber Music, live from Cadogan Hall in London. It's presented by Petroc Trelawney.
Welcome back to the Proms Intimate Space for Chamber Music, where today we welcome the London Concord Ensemble, giving the Proms premiere of a string quartet by Imogen Holst. And later, Radio 3 new generation artist Robin Trichler will perform a setting of W.B. Yeats's words by Peter Warlock. We start in Paris in 1932 with music by Poulenc, that musical clown of the first order, as he was once described. Wind instruments can be rakish, comic, caustic, cynical, brash, romantic. And Poulenc made good use of all those different moods in his sextet for piano and winds. Flute, oboe, clarinet, bassoon and horn joining the piano. Please welcome to the stage the London Concord Ensemble.
Thank you.
Poulenc's sextet, played by the London Concord Ensemble. Flautist Daniel Palethorpe, oboist Emily Palethorpe, Maximiliano Martin playing clarinet, Andrea de Flamenes bassoon, Martin Owen horn, and Julian Milford the pianist. Radio 3, home of the BBC Proms, live from Cadogan Hall in London, and the sixth of this season's Proms chamber music concerts, all of them being filmed. They'll be available to view at the BBC Proms website. Today's concert from the 20th through until the 27th of August. Follow the links to watch and listen. Now, last week we heard Imogen Holst writing for Voices. She spent much of her life performing, researching, and championing her father's music. She also, of course, worked very closely with Benjamin Britten, which means there's only a relatively small amount of her own repertoire. But her catalogue does include a string quartet. And to tell us more, I'm delighted to say Julian Milford, pianist in the London Concord Ensemble, is here. Now, the work's name gives us a clue as to what it was all about, a fantasy quartet. There were lots of fantasy quartets in Britain in the first part of the 20th century.
There were, and it's really down to one man, William Walter Cobbett, a businessman who was an absolutely passionate amateur musician, who set up the Cobbett Prize in 1905. And his idea was to revive the English fantasy as it had been written by people like Purcell Gibbons, and to have a short, one movement, distinctively English type of chamber music that would sort of fuel a new renaissance in English music.
And he felt that English music had become too preoccupied with the oratorio, with the symphony, that we'd somehow left chamber music to colleagues on the European mainland.
Yes, and I think he was worried that chamber music pieces were too long as well. He stipulated that entries to his composition should be 12 minutes in length, which I think this whole piece just about meets.
And when you look through the list of Cobbett winners, Cobbett competitors, an extraordinary range of names in British music history.
An amazing range of names, and actually an amazing range of pieces. And we, as a group, have played some in the fantastic first piano trio by Frank Bridge. There's a wonderful fantasy trio by John Ireland. There are a lot of other great composers who not only wrote for the Cobbett Prize, but were also commissioned by Cobbett, including, I think, Britten and Vaughan Williams.
Was he looking for works that look back to that sort of earlier era in music making, to Jacobean music, or did he want things that were cutting edge?
He was worried, actually, that some of the compositions, that's a tongue twister, were a bit too cutting edge. He was certainly looking back to the 16th, 17th centuries and wanting to revive what he thought of as a sort of distinctively English flavour in music, if you like.
Well, Julian, we'll let you sit this one out as it's a string quartet. You can enjoy it rather than playing this time. Thank you very much indeed, Julian Milford. I think the sort of slight touches of early Britten, or particularly Britten's teacher, Frank Bridge, about this piece, Imogen Holst's fantasy quartet. Please welcome back the London Concord Ensemble.
Thank you.
Imogen Holst's Fantasy Quartet receiving its first proms performance by the London Concord Ensemble. Violinists Daniel Rowland and Ning Cam, Rachel Roberts playing viola, and Thomas Carroll, the cellist. That piece, winner of the Cobbett Prize. Well, next in our Cadogan Hall lunchtime prom, a work by Peter Warlock. Philip Heseltine, his real name, a composer who led a riotous bohemian life, much of it around here where we are in Chelsea in London. Though he didn't live for long, he died in rather mysterious circumstances while only in his mid-30s. In Dublin in 1917, he met the poet W.B. Yeats, and the result was a setting of four of Yeats's poems in a work called The Curlew. Alas, there was then a falling out. Yeats forbid him to publish the piece, but when it won a major prize in 1923, the poet's hand was rather forced and the set finally appeared. The poems are: he reproves the curlew, the lover mourns for the loss of love, the withering of the boughs, and he hears the cry of the sedge. Written with accompaniment for a rather unusual and very dark-hued combination of flute, cor anglais, and string quartet, Warlock saw these songs as being very much chamber music, not just a simple cycle, as an extended introduction and then an interlude before the last song. He was furious when someone once made the rather facile suggestion that they reflected the luxuriousness of Celtic melancholy. For Warlock, this was music that really genuinely sounded the depths of desolation, darkness and despair. So to join the London Concord Ensemble in what is the first proms performance of Peter Warlock's The Curlew, please welcome the players and the Irish tenor and Radio 3 new generation artist, Robin Trichler.
I know of the leafy paths the witches take, who come with the crowns of pearl, the spindles of wool, and the secret smile out of the depths of the lake. I know where the dim moons of its twin cannons wind, wind and unwind their dances when the light grows cold and the wild. Thank you.
castle break that keeps the stars in their round, and hands held in the deep the banners of east and west, and the girdle of light is unbound.
Peter Warlock's The Curlew, performed by the London Concord Ensemble and the tenor Robin Trichler. Robin making his proms debut this lunchtime. We're very proud that he is a Radio 3 new generation artist and will make his Covent Garden debut next season, singing in Alban Berg's Wozzeck. Well, to finish today's proms chamber music concert, a piece written in Paris 300 years ago, given a radical modern reworking. François Couperin wrote Les Barricades Mystérieuses for harpsichord in 1716 or thereabouts. The contemporary composer Thomas Addès describes the work as a better composition lesson than any he'd received from his teachers in how to generate melody from harmony and vice versa. So, to perform Couperin, arranged by Addès, please welcome back to the stage for the last time the London Concord Ensemble. Thomas Addis's arrangement of Couperin's Les Barricades Mystérieuses, played by the London Concord Ensemble. Clarinet and bass clarinet with viola, cello and double bass. Lorenzo Iosco playing bass clarinet. Tim Gibbs, the bassist. London Concord Ensemble celebrating its 10th anniversary, founded by principals from the BBC Symphony Orchestra, Orchestra of the Royal Opera House, the Scottish Chamber Orchestra and the Chamber Orchestra of Europe. And all of the players involved in today's concert, and tenor Robin Trichler now forming a great line along the front of the Cadogan Hall stage. Well, next week, Elizabeth McConkie's string quartet and Brahms' F minor piano quintet, the Signum Quartet, and pianist Christian Illehadland will be here. Until then, from all of us here at Cadogan Hall, good afternoon.
That concert was introduced by Petroc Trelawney. More from Petroc shortly. And we're live at the Royal Albert Hall for more Proms this evening.
Berlioz, Mendelssohn, Bach and Beethoven with the Scottish Chamber Orchestra and one of this year's featured Proms artists, the pianist Stephen Huff. Liszt astounded Mendelssohn by sight-reading his first piano concerto in a piano showroom in Paris in 1831. How will Stephen Huff fare with hopefully a little more preparation time? I'm Martin Handley. Join me at the BBC Proms tonight at 7 o'clock.
And there are Scottish performers for the late night prom this evening too. It features Frederick Leshefsky's new piano concerto, played by the composer himself, the BBC Scottish Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Ilan Volkov. And if you missed their performance last night of Stravinsky's Firebird, do track it down on the iPlayer. It was spine-tingling stuff. Some particularly glittering brass playing. Matthias Pinscher was conducting, and the programme also included the London premiere of his new piece, Chute d'Etoile. He was one of my guests in the Proms Plus intro that was broadcast in the interval of last night's prom, proving he's a great communicator in the medium of speech as well as music. And eloquent too was my other guest, Professor Jonathan Cross. Do seek it out on the iPlayer via the Radio 3 website, bbc.co.uk/Radio 3. This is BBC Radio 3. There's another chance now to hear the prom from last Thursday night, a concert given by the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra with its artistic director and principal conductor Charles Dutoit. It's introduced by Petroc Trelawney.
Good evening to you. Charles Dutoit describes the players of the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra as his oldest friends in England. It is an enduring relationship that stretches over nearly half a century. 1966 is when he first worked with them. Now he's their artistic director and this evening leads a programme that spans 100 years of European music.
Well, I mean, you know, we are playing two great pieces of the French repertoire, La Mer and Aphnis, of course, the best known music. French style of this century, you know. But the most important thing, I think, is the first performance here of the Concerto Grosso by Penderecki, which was premiered in Tokyo. It's a commissioned piece by the NHK Symphony when I was there as a music director. And we did the premiere in Tokyo in 2001. So, you know, it's a long time ago already. But the piece has been played all over the world. And I think it's the first performance here in London. It's a great piece for three celli. It's a dialogue between the three instruments, alternatively first and then together with the orchestra. And it's really, I think, one of my favorite pieces of Penderecki. It's a great piece.
Well, Arthur Norris, Leonard Elshenbrock and Daniel Müller-Schott are the three cellists who will hear performing that work in about 5 or 6 minutes' time this Thursday night. We begin with a short but spectacular feast of colour from Stravinsky, his Fireworks, written to celebrate the wedding of Rimsky-Korsakov's daughter. Alas, recalled Stravinsky a few days later, a telegram informed me of Rimsky-Korsakov's death. And shortly afterwards, my registered packet was returned to me, stamped not delivered on account of death of addressee. Piece was performed the following year and alerted Diaghilev to the talent of this young Russian composer. What a relationship that turned out to be. Stravinsky hugely admired Rimsky-Korsakov, really was his beloved teacher. Started their lessons by making him orchestrate Beethoven piano sonatas or short scores of his own works. It's also influenced by Paul Ducasse, whose Sorcerer's Apprentice shows its head in Fireworks. Well, that applause for Duncan Riddell, leader of the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra. And walking onto the stage, out into, once again, an absolute...